Diamonds are forever.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and that's the wonderful Shirley Bassey, born on this day in 1937, singing Diamonds Are Forever. Now, Shirley Bassey, of course, was made famous by her song Goldfinger, James Bond, and she, and despite what Rush Limbaugh says, there are black people in England. And Shirley Bassey is one of them, being a black Welsh woman.
Yes, she is.
Who sang that wonderful song, We Pray You Diamonds Are Forever, which I think is an even stronger song that Mark Gunnery picked out today to play to honor Shirley Bassey's birthday. So here we are. Once again, it's that time of the month. We missed the walk in December because we were playing repeats and new winter lovely songs and shows for you during the break. But in the studio is Chauncey Whitehead, fitness professional and owner of CDW Health and Wellness Lifestyles, and of course, great community fitness activist in our town. Good to have you back, Chauncey.
Good morning, Mark, and happy new year to the listening audience.
And happy new year to you as well.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone, we have Angela Din Meadow, who's not here in studio, unfortunately, but she's here with us, registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and affiliated with the Joslin Diabetes Center in Baltimore. Angela, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Happy New Year to everyone.
Good morning, Angela.
Happy New Year. And Dr. C. Daniel Mullins, professor and chair of Pharmaceutical Health Services Research Department at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy. Research focuses on comparative effectiveness research, patient-centered outcomes research, and pharmaeconomics and health disparities research, where he directs the University of Maryland-centered involvement in evaluating effectiveness of treatments patients program, which received a University of Maryland Baltimore Champion of Excellence Award. And good to have you in the studio, Dr. Mullins.
Thank you. Good morning.
And y'all can join us here, 410-319-8888. So what do you have in store for us today,
Whitehead? What I got in store for you, Mark, is that we had our first walk of the new year on last Saturday, January the 3rd. And on that cold, chilly January morning, we had 40 community walkers out to and include myself and Mama Ernestine, who is not here today because she has an appointment, and Dr. Mullins of the Patients Program that has been on at least 7, 8, 9 of our walks. They're one of our community partners, and of course, Rhonda's not here today. But we also wanted to tell the listening audience how to start a fitness program and how to make it easy in the beginning of the new year. And Angela has some great tidbits, 5 good eating tidbits later.
Eating tidbits.
All right, yeah. You know, some tips and to start the year off right.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So, and resolution is always hard to keep, even though I have not seen you to work out with you in a bunch of months.
That's true.
My wife has seen you a lot.
That's true. That's true, too. I won't deny that. Angela, he's on a roll.
It's okay. You know, her good habits are going to push over to him soon.
No, well, I made my
resolution.
I don't make resolutions, but I try to think in my head what I want to do, and I've been doing it by going to my basement and doing a little workout every morning.
Right. That's all we need. Mm-hmm.
Whether it was my 75 push-ups this morning or working on the bench the day before.
There we go.
You know, so I'm trying to keep this old body rolling.
That's great.
Perfect.
In the best way I can. So tell me a bit about your research, Daniel Mullins. And what you're involved in is with all this.
Right. At the University of Maryland, we have come to understand that part of the reason that we haven't been able to get effective treatments into clinical practice is that people are very suspicious of research and they don't find it meaningful. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to transform research by allowing patients to propose questions. Isn't that a novel idea?
What does that mean?
It means that we listen to what patients want to know and we study what patients think is important, not what lofty researchers think is important. and we bring actual patients in and sit them down with researchers and allow the researchers to hear what patients want to know, what health outcomes are important to them, and then we measure those outcomes.
Can you give me a concrete example of what you're talking about?
Sure. If we're going to try to improve blood pressure control, everybody knows blood pressure, but what we don't know is what is it that you're concerned about if your doctor gives you a medicine to reduce your blood pressure? Because that's the question that gets asked in the office. And then the physician says, well, I don't know whether this drug will cause you to have dry mouth. But if dry mouth is something that bothers you, then we're going to let you know which of the drugs is more likely to lead to dry mouth. We want people to be healthy. We want them to use something that's going to help them to be healthy, whether it's walking in the community with Chauncey and Miss Ernestine or whether it's taking a pill that their doctor prescribes.
And how we partnered, Mark, is that with the patients program coming out to our community walks, they're able to walk with the community and to listen to some of the questions and the concerns they have in the community. So when they're doing their research, they're actually listening, because during our community walks and walking with the community, people are a little bit more inclined to say what's really going on, because you could come in and say we're going to do a research program, but what if I don't have any money to get to the research program? You know, people are more likely to say, well, you know what, I don't have the funds to get down there, or they're just a little bit more honest because of the environment, and that's why we enjoy walking and working with the patients program as one of our partners.
So, and Andrew, so chime in here with these tips you were going to give us. This the eating tips you were thinking.
Here we go, listening audience, get ready.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, to kind of tie all this in, nutrition is evidence based. So, guess what? People actually were participated in a study or participated in research in order for us to come up with evidence-based recommendations. But I came up with some 5 nutrition goals that should be easy for everyone.
Okay.
The first is drinking more water. So drinking more water has been linked to
You just made it toasty.
It's been linked to what?
Weight loss.
Weight loss.
Yes. So even if you're drinking water, even 2 glasses or a glass before you eat, it can make you fill up a little bit more, or just drinking it more throughout the day. People that actually were in the study that drank more water lost more weight. So that is one thing, is drinking more water. Another one is eating breakfast. And I always talk about that, but I think people need to make it more often to actually consume breakfast. And people that have lost weight over 5 years, at least 78% of them eat breakfast on a daily basis.
And what is the connection between eating breakfast and losing weight?
Well, the first thing is when we actually skip breakfast, we tend to then choose poor choices the next time.
That's right.
Or we overeat. So we're so hungry by that time, we consume a very large portion. So people that actually consume breakfast, they can actually get their metabolism going, but also choose healthier choices.
Huh.
That's correct, Angela. Keep rolling. You're on a roll.
Okay. Consume more vegetables. So
yes.
I know I tell everybody, please eat vegetables, but if we could just say, twice a day, I'm going to eat a half a plate of veggies. And you can have them all different ways. You may toss them in your smoothie. You may add them to an omelet. You may put them on a sandwich. Mm. You may have a side salad or have vegetables in a soup. No matter how you have them, try to have them at least twice a day.
Well, I love my veggies. I consume them every day. So far, so good.
I love them, too.
So far, so good. And what's the last one here?
Oh, well, we have just 2 more, and then choose lean protein. So getting away from things that are fried more often and just choosing things that are healthy for us. Even when we think about the environment, if we choose things that are leaner, things of fish and seafood and chicken and even beans, guess what? It's actually good for our environment, and it's less carbon gases.
I'm going to make a funny joke about beans and gas, but I won't do it right now.
Blazing saddles.
That's right.
Blazing saddles.
Yes. Well, you know, they actually measure sustainability and your carbon footprint based off of gases. And meat, especially things like pigs and cows, they release a lot of gas.
They do.
And when we consume them, we release a lot of gas. So if we want to watch our carbon footprint by choosing more leaner options, that will help us with our carbon footprint. And last but not least is watching our sweets. Make them just a treat, no more than once or twice a week.
All right. Well, I'm good at most of those things, not completely, though.
Yeah, you know, and thank you, Angela, for those tips. One of the things that I found, Mark, at the beginning of the new year, and I was talking to Dr. Mullins about this, is we have the resolution. Number one resolution is to lose weight. And some of us try too much to put emphasis on, I'm going to stop all of my bad habits. I'm going to quit smoking this year. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to exercise every day. My 3 easy tips as it relates to a fitness program is, one, find out what you like. And if you like walking, start walking. You know, number 2 is just do it. And my number 3 is repeat it again. Just make some small. Don't put yourself, well, I'm going to lose 50 pounds by December. Let's go with a week or a month. You know, I'm going to try to lose a pound or 2 pounds, 2.5 safely within a week or something like that. And don't put too much stress on yourself as it relates to these resolutions and doing it. Because what we try to do in our community walks is we talk about that, is that we're all struggling with something. And so when you come out here to walk with us, feel free to talk about your weight loss. Feel free to talk about something else that's going on in your life, because we're out here to talk and walk.
So, yeah, and that's why it's important. And we'll be back next month for your next walk.
February the 7th.
So that week we'll definitely be here to kind of talk about that walk coming up. So how does all this relate to the work you're doing?
Well, I think most people don't know how to make informed choices, right? They know they want to be healthy, but they don't necessarily know what is the right thing to do. So they'll talk to a fitness trainer. They'll talk to a dietitian. They'll talk to a pharmacist or a physician or a nurse. And what we want to make sure is that we get good evidence to people, right? Whether it's a food choice, sometimes, you know, a person is diagnosed with diabetes or hypertension. They've been told that they should cut down on their sugar or cut down on their salt. But a lot of people were never taught how to read a label. So they don't know what is the right food to take. What we want to do is get that information to individuals. Sometimes we don't know what the answer is yet, and that's why we need to do research to find the answer to a question that patients have. And then to bring it back to the community, you know, and I think that's the most important thing that researchers can do, is make sure that you return to the community what we collectively learned.
And so, I mean, and so I know you participate in these walks and you've been
every month,
right?
Absolutely.
So what's the connection?
The connection for me is that at the University of Maryland, we don't view patients as human subjects only. We view them as advisors to our research. And as Chauncey said, if I'm walking for 3 miles around a reservoir, that gives me a half an hour to hear from somebody what they think is important. I can bring that back to researchers at the University of Maryland. And I can say, this is what the West Baltimore community wants to know. Do we have an answer to that question? And if so, we need to get it out. If we don't, that's our next study. It's a very simple concept of, you know, we're walking anyways. Tell me what's important to you.
Have these things come out of the walk for you?
Absolutely.
Like what? I'm curious.
You know, people who have gone through treatments for cancer. You know, you talk to a cancer survivor, they remember their experience.
Well,
they
remember
the burning of their skin if they went through radiation. They remember the sluggishness if they went through chemotherapy. And they can describe exactly what they wish they knew before they started their treatment. And so then we can develop that information and get it to people before they start their treatment so that they're making informed healthcare choices.
You know, and one of the things, Chauncey, I was thinking about listening to both Angela and Dr. Daniel Mullins speak was about the walks that you and Miss Ernestine started now in their 14th month?
Oh, no. February the 7th will be our 20th walk.
20th walk.
Going into our second year.
Which is the approach you take here is really important, because, A, you see these as a way to gather community together to walk
exactly.
And talk and have fellowship together and bring people together and walk through Druid Hill Park. But you bring these professionals together as well who are involved in health and diet and involved in these things to interact with the community. So you really kind of think of this in a much more holistic approach. This is not just about walking and literally working out in physical fitness. It's deeper than that for you.
Exactly, Mark. And as a fitness professional and a community fitness activist, you know, that I call myself, is that and my job is to try to help Dr. Mullins and Angela. Because a lot of times I was told by one of my clients is that they'll tell their fitness professional and their hairdresser more than they will tell a professor or a doctor. So we both have the same goal. Dr. Mullins and I have the same goal, helping the community. So if I can use the walk, me and Miss Ernestine, the community coming out to talk about their health issues and different things in the community, then hey, come on out to the community and get real information, because our community sometimes they're a little apprehensive about a lab coat. You know, but if you're coming out in the cold, Dr. Mullins is out in the cold and it's 25 degrees and it's raining and he's out there walking with you and he's asking questions, it kind of, you know, that shield kind of comes down and you actually say what you might want and you give the correct answer, not the lab coat answer. So, you know, because his consistency, the consistency of the Breast Cancer City Program of Baltimore City that comes out there, or anybody, you know, we ask anybody to come out to walk. We don't advocate or we're not promoting any particular person. We just believe that a community that walks together talks together, and we have proof.
Yeah, I'm glad, and that's why I raised that issue, because I think that it's, you know, it took a while for it to dawn on me, even though I've been doing these shows for a while. How comprehensive this perspective of what these walks are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just not a walk in the park.
No.
It is a walk in the park. And there's been this research that has shown that people walking collectively adds to their physical and mental health.
Oh, definitely.
The conversation, the camaraderie of walking to the park.
Trust.
And trust.
Trust.
And opening up. So it's a much bigger piece than just getting people to kind of – and because it's you're not a speed walk. This is a walk. People move, but they're not like doing an Olympic walk through the park.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right?
You know, we promote we ask that – and you know I'm a marathon runner – that nobody runs. We want people to walk and talk with the community. Angela has joined us a few times last year that a person may open up a little bit more about their bad eating habits because they're walking with Angela versus meeting her in an office setting. And they may ask questions that she could probably use in her office setting, because people generally are relaxed when you are walking and talking with them. And you're just when you come out to these events and the one we just had last week, as cold as it was, everybody's hugging each other. We had 40 people.
Wow.
40 people, Angela. It was cold. It was raining. There was all kinds of excuses that could have been used. But people came out from all sections of the city.
Were you there, Angela, last week?
I was not. I was out of town. But I have already marked my calendar for February.
February the 7th.
To get my butt there.
All right. All right. All right. Because we had a caller, I think it was the last month, that I don't know if they listen on a regular basis, but they had a question about they were letting us know that the nutrition piece is very important. And as you've noticed on this airways, we try to address that.
Right.
And that's why we have Angela on here, because the eating is very important. And sometimes I've told individuals the fitness piece, okay, we kind of move anyway. But that eating piece, I like to eat. I went home for the holidays, Angela, and I probably ate some things that wouldn't, you know. I mean, I didn't want to make my mother feel bad, so I ate the sweet potato pie a couple of times. You know, but then you...
That's the reason.
But the eating piece is very hard, and I don't have all the answers. We don't have the answers. But some of the simple things that Angela has told the listening audience to start the new year off, you know, just take five things, the five little simple things, and just try to pace yourself. This is a marathon. This is a lifestyle, you know, and we can help you at the walk. We can help talk you through it.
All right. I also would just add that showing up once a month for a walk is the beginning of following through on a commitment.
That's right.
We're talking about New Year's resolutions.
Right.
Following through on a commitment. If I can show up once a month, then maybe once a week I can eat healthier, and then it becomes a daily habit.
That's right.
Maybe if I can walk consistently, I can take my medicine more consistently so that, you know, whatever condition I have is better managed. And then I feel more empowered as a patient to be in control of my illness. Rather than looking, you know, for my doctor or somebody else to be in charge of it. And that's one of the most empowering experiences for any patient, right? To be empowered to be in charge of my own health.
Right. And that is a huge piece of it. And just taking control of that, because it's hard for people. I was even thinking about the issue of having breakfast.
Right.
Because that requires, in some ways, controlling your own life to a point where you can stop for a minute, maybe get a little earlier,
mm-hmm.
to make breakfast, to sit down and eat it. And don't eat on the run.
That's right.
You know,
controlling your day. We were just talking with Kimberly when she left out. Is that one of the things I always told her is that the only time we really control in the day is, God willing, we wake up, is the morning. So you may have to wake up a little bit earlier, as Angela said, to prepare your breakfast. But look at all the great benefits she talked about as it relates to starting your day off with a good breakfast.
Angela, what was your breakfast this morning?
I made baked oatmeal last night.
Mm.
Because I knew my morning was going to be really hectic. So I had oatmeal this morning. And being prepared, that's what all this is about. The more you're prepared, the healthier you can be. It's when we're not prepared, we really get into situations where we have poor choices. So being prepared, it starts at that grocery store, and it starts first thing in the morning, really thinking about your day.
And that the mornings are important. You
oh,
know? And I've been. It's hard to get a hold of that. And do it right. And my producer just wrote, yeah, I soak my steel cut oats with almonds overnight, and then cook it quickly in the morning.
Mm.
Yeah,
sounds good. Almost as good as my bacon. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're what?
My smoked bacon. You know, but
I had. This might not be healthy. I had in between two waffles.
Mm. Two waffles, Angela. You hear that?
Two healthy waffles.
That's
two healthy waffles.
Two healthy waffles.
Fine.
Peanut
okay.
butter and honey.
Oh, that sounds good.
And
that's
then
delicious.
A big thing of yogurt. That was a delicious strawberry rhubarb yogurt. That's what I had this morning.
That sounds delicious. You know, some people may boil their eggs the night before and keep a bunch of hard-boiled eggs in the refrigerator. I think it's all about just being prepared and knowing your time. Some people wake up early to do it, and some people say, I like to sleep in and grab it out of the refrigerator. Yeah. But so, I think that's a start for us to just say, you know, I'm going to start eating breakfast on time.
And, well, I think, oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I think one of the key words for 2015 is preparation. You know, just think about preparing your breakfast and how you're going to eat and exercise. You know, find the gym. Don't give yourself too many options. Don't give yourself too many options.
Right.
Just get it done. Just
and
go
when you
there,
feel like it, it, when it's in you, do it at that moment.
That's it.
Don't wait. It's
That's
one of the big
it.
Things I think exactly. is important for us all to think about. Well, it's always great to have you in here, Chauncey Whitehead.
It's always great to be here.
We'll see you next month in February.
February the 7th, Drew Hill Park.
And Dr. Daniel Mullins, great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
I'll hear a lot more about your research. Just, I'm fascinated by your approach to this, and I look forward to kind of spending some time learning more about that.
I look forward to it as well.
Yeah, I really do. Angela Metal, always great to have you with us, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
And let's eat healthy and think healthy, and we can do it. We can take control of this and not succumb to what the advertising others would like us to do. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern and day in history research producer is Sienna Greaves. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. And to podcast The Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And on our way out of here, we're hearing Changes by David Bowie, who was born on this day in 1947, as we think about our resolutions. And for Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. I'm much too fast to take that test. Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man.